Bezras Hashem Yisbarach, today's daf is Chav Beis in Maseches Tainis. I haven't been zocha to learn with you for a couple of days, for a couple of reasons. First of all, these last couple of days in Tammuz have been extremely painful ones for Klal Yisrael. It seems like a while ago, but it was only a couple of days ago that we were standing in Nofai alone at the Levaya of Naftali Frankel, who was killed al Kiddush Hashem. That day, almost all of us in Klal Yisrael felt like Onanim, and it was hard even to learn, going through the whole process of the pain of Yechidim and the pain of Klal Yisrael, the pain of Yeshuva Aretz. I'm now in the United States. I came in Baruch Hashem Lahavdil for a chasana, so now we do have something special, a big bonus for me, that Bezer Hashem, I'll try to learn the staff with you, with my father as well, who's an attendee of the Daf Yomi Shurim as well. We're going to pick up on the top of Chav Beis Amid Aleph, Rebbe Broika Choza'a. The Gemara tells us another story on the second wide line on Chav Beis Amid Aleph, that of Rebbe Broika, who was from a place called Choza'a. Havishchiach b'shuka, he used to be found in a shuka Bei Lefet, which was called Leket, Havishchiach Eliyahu Gabei, and it was common for Eliyahu to come and visit. Amar Lei, Rav Broika said to Eliyahu, Iga b'hai shuka bar alma, da'asi, is there someone in the shuk? Eliyahu knows the answer to these questions. Is there someone in the shuk who is a bar olam haba? Amar lo, Lei, lo, he said to him, Eliyahu said no. Adahachi v'achi chazilu gavra, davisim, there was a person who was finishing off, misane uchmoy. Excuse me, he was closing his shoes. He would close his shoes, see him to close the Lashon and L'sayim, but to close off his shoes with the shoes of Uchmi, which means something along the lines of the Gentiles, a non-Jewish way of wearing shoes. In those days, the Jews and Gentiles wore different shoes. V'lo rami chuta t'techlata b'glime. He also did not have a chut of t'cheles in his Begadim. In other words, he wasn't wearing tzitzis. In those days, they wore tzitzis with tcheles, and he wasn't wearing that as well. According to Tosis and Bava Kamma on Nuntesam Ebeis, the shoes that were worn by the Gentiles were like the Jews in the sense that they were black. However, both Jews and Gentiles wore black shoes, but Jews wore white laces, while the Gentiles wore black laces as well. So this person passed by, Amale, and Eliyahu says, Hai bar alma dasu. He surprises him. He says, this is someone who go to Olam Haba. The last person that one would have thought was the Ben Olam Haba of that crowd. Kari lev lo asi, the Bach learns. He called to him. In other words, Rabbi Broka called to him, and according to the Bach, he did not respond. Vlo asa gabe rod pasre. He ran after him. Amale mai uvdach. He said, what do you do? Wanted to find out more about him. Amrle, so the fellow responded to him, Zilo idin of a salamachar. Don't speak to me now, come back to me tomorrow. Lamachar amrle my vudach. So Rabbi Broka didn't give up. He asked him the next day, what do you do? Amrle, he responded, Zandukna ana. I am someone who guards the prisons of the king. Vasarna gavri, lechud, unashi lechud. And I separate the men and the women. Urmina parnoi bein halin yahani, and I put a bed between both of them. Keecha de lo asa de asura, in order that they shouldn't come to avera. Ki chazina bas Yisrael di avi nachrim ala anayu. And if I see that there are Jewish women, now these Jewish women are probably, Reb Chaim of Brisk used to emphasize this, that these Jewish women are probably not the holiest of women. At the end of the day, they're in prison. But he said, when I see that there are Gentile men, that they look at the Jewish women, Masri nafshayu umatzlinalei, I put myself in danger, and I save them, these women, from these Gentile men. If I could just add an editorial, just happens to be, I'm in my father's house, maybe, well, I don't get to read the Wall Street Journal every day, but just today I saw that in the Wall Street Journal that there were talks, although they, Bezer Hashem, will not happen, talks of making Yeshiva University co-ed. And you see how Chazal felt that it was so important not in its extremes. I'm not advocating that Yeshiva University should have the standards of Satmar Hasidim, but at the same time, we see from today's daf, and there's no such thing as a coincidence, that the standards of Kedusha for Klal Yisrael and a simple man who might be dressed up who might appear as a Gentile, nevertheless, his determination to make sure that the uniqueness of marriage in Klal Yisrael, something that we make a bracha, I'm going to experience tonight under the chuppah with the chassan and kala, she'aser lanu es harusos v'hitil lanu es anasuos lanu a'idei chuppah v'kiddushin, that the Rambam describes in Hilchos Ishus, that the difference between Klal Yisrael, between the world and Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah and after Matan Torah, one of the unique differences was the way in which a home was created. And a home is created dafka al yidei chuppah v'kiddushin, and the interactions between the opposite genders are measured within the tradition of Klal Yisrael. This is not something that was introduced in the shtetl just 100 years ago. This was something that goes back to our traditions all the way to the times of Bavel and in Eretz Yisrael, v'chulei v'chulei. So this needs to be emphasized at this moment. The Gemara now continues the story of this fellow that needs to be extolled. Yom echad avin nara meurasa gabon diyavu beinachar meinayu. There was a woman who was engaged, there was a woman who was already engaged to a Jewish man, and the Gentiles set their eyes on her. Shokli ushkoli dudaya dechamra. And I took sediments of wine, v'shadile b'shipule, and I poured it on her clothing, v'amar distanoihi. And I said to them that she is a nida, distani, or it might come from the word, according to the Rabbi Shaya pick on the side of the Gemara. It's distana, which means that she's changed, which refers to the fact that she's now a nida. Amalei, my taima lesachuti. So now Rabbi Broke asks him another question. So if that's so, you seem to be someone who is determined to maintain the Kedusha of Klal Yisrael, even in the toughest of places. So then why is it that you don't have tcheles? So why don't you have tzitzis v'ramis misani uchmi? And why is it that you wear black shoes? According to Tosis, it has to mean, that we mentioned before, v'dozen above a kam, it has to mean that why you wear black shoes with black laces. Amalei, so he responded to him, alina v'nafkino b'enei nachrim. I go amongst the Gentiles. This is a common challenge that also appeared throughout the generations. In order that they shouldn't know that I'm a Jew, therefore I'm able to go undercover. So if there are decrees against the Jewish people, I inform the Rabbanan. What do the Rabbanan do? They go and they pull out their swords? Do they go and they create politics? No. Ubo rachme umevatel gizrisai. And they daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and through the tefillos, and does this man believe that through the tefillos of the Chachamim, so then the Klal Yisrael is saved. Umay taima ki amin aloch ana may avdach. And why is it Rabbi Broika asked that when I asked you what you're doing, v'amartali zil idna v'sulamachar, and you push me off and say come back tomorrow, amalei b'hi shayte gozri gezrusa. At that moment, the authorities who I worked for had issued a terrible decree. Va'amina bereisha azul v'eshmul l'rabbon and d'boy rachmi aleha. And I said that the first thing, my first responsibility, is to go tell the Rabbanan and tell them what is going on in order that they should beg for rachmanas. So I just want to qualify what I had said before, that here we have two things. We have the ishtadlus of the Rabbanan of sending someone on the inside, and we see that in this case they felt, and obviously there would be a lot to talk about in halachic discussion, because these are isurim. Particularly, the Gemara says to dress like a Gentile. The Gemara in some places says that might be a symptom, to dress like an Ovid Kochavim might be a real fundamental isur daraisa. Yet, nevertheless, the Rabbanan allowed it, and they had someone inside who reported to them so that they would be able to react appropriately. And here in this case, it was Al Yidei Tefillah. So he said, that's what I was doing. That's what I was involved doing at that particular time. I wasn't interested in schmoozing then. I had something more important to do. Also, hanich trei achi. While Rabbi Broca, remember, who was the one who was with on Rabbi Broca's side when there was Elio? So there were two brothers that were coming. Amalei and Elio told him, "Hanach b'nei alma da'asim yinu." These are also people of b'nei olam haba. Azul gabayu amalehu mayu daichu. So Rabbi Broca went and asked them, "What do you do?" Amalei inshe beduchi anon. We are clowns. We are batchonim. And we make happy those who are sad. So there is a tremendous value for those. I've had Talmidim Baruch Hashem over the years who have a tremendous power of sense of humor, and that is a tremendous gift that one could use to be mashpia on Klal Yisrael, simply to bring a smile to people's places. Obviously that comes along with a tremendous responsibility, because Leitzonus is something that is frowned upon by Chazal, but to bring a smile to someone who's sad face, that clearly is a tremendous chesed, a tremendous mitzvah. Inami, or else ki chazim beitreid islay tigra ba'adayu, or if we see a fight between two people, tachina v'avdinu l'ushlema, we go and we try to bring peace between them. We go back to our Mishnah. Al eilu masrin b'chol mokoim. We learned in our Mishnah that immediately one makes a zman of kindness with the blowing of shofar if there's afflictions, for example, of pestilence and so on to the produce. Tan Rabbanon, we learned in a brisa, Leilu Masrin B'chol Mokom Al Shidof Val Yarko Val B'Chsil Val Chayero. Very similar to the list that we have in our Mishnah. So that's also mentioned in the brisa. Rabbi Akiva Oimer. Rabbi Akiva qualifies some of these things, and hence the Gemara adds a little bit from this brisa that we don't have in the Mishnah. He adds al shidofon val yarakon, on shidofon, which means that there is a wind that destroys the produce, as we've learned in the past, and when the produce becomes yellow, yarakon being yellow in becholshu, that's even the smallest amount. Arbe v'chsil afilu lo nire beretz Yisrael ela knaf echod masrin alein. Even the smallest sign, immediately Rabbi Akiva adds, then a fast with the blowing of the shofar is made. We also learned that our Mishnah of Al Chayo, as well as wild animals, Tan Rabbanu Chayo Rosh Omizman Shimush Leches Masrin Aleh. The only time we make a special blowing is when it's sent, literally sent from the heavens. So then in such a case, then we do. Eino Mishulachas Ein Masrin Aleh. And if it's not sent from the heavens, then we don't have a special kindness with blowing. Obviously, then the follow-up question is, Ezui Mishalachas, Ezui Sheinu Mishalachas. What qualifies being sent, what is not? Nearest Be'ir Mishalachas. If it's an event that takes place in the city, then it's sent. One of the things when I go to my parents, Bli Ayin Hara, have a house of Torah, but are extremely well-read, so there are about three or four newspapers in the house. So one of the newspapers I read spoke about beers being found in the bungalow colonies here in the Catskills. Unfortunately, this is etched in some people's mind, a tragedy. This is Maseches Tainis. And unfortunately, it reminds us of tragedies, and for some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it that as we learn this Masechta, also that we, Klal Yisrael, experienced a tragedy. That in the Catskills a few years ago, there was a child who was actually killed by a bear. So that would qualify as an example of a mishulachas. That's not something that is normal. It's not expected for wild animals to enter into the living quarters of people. Obviously, an area of a bungalow colony, which is closer to the wild, brings up some of these situations. But nearest beir mishulachas besada. But if it's already in the fields, ain't a mishulachas. Biyom mishulachas, belayla ain't a mishulachas. During the day, it's considered something not expected, as if God had sent them, and at night, it's not considered sent. This also brings up issues of hashkacha pratis and the position of the Rambam in regards to the role of nature and the role of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This might point to the idea that there are times that nature rains, and it's not something that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent, and then something as abnormal and as awful as boys being kidnapped and killed and bears coming out of the forest to dwelling places of people, that qualifies as mishulachas. Every once in a while, obviously different Rishonim have different approaches, but from this Gemara we'd see that there is a notion of a Eina mishulachas. Rasa shnei bnei adam rotsa acharem mishulachas. If it sees people and chases after them, then it's mishulachas. Nechbas mipnein ena mishulachas. But if the animal hides, then it is not considered as if it was sent. Tarfa shnei bnei adam v'achal echal me'en. If God forbid it ate two people, it attacked two people, killed two people, and ate one of them, then it's mishulachas. Achal shnei'en ena mishulachas. Expectation being that then it was just following its nature's instincts because it was hungry. Also, legag. Oh, yeah. Reminiscent of what I described from a couple of summers ago. Also, legag v'natlo tinok me'arisa. If it took a child from its carriage, mishulachas, then it's considered as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had sent it. Hagufa kasha asks, Gemara needs to qualify. Amrit niris abir mishulachas, if it's seen in the city, so then it's considered mishulachas. Lo shno b'yom lo b'shanay lo. Doesn't make a difference whether it's day or night. V'hoda amarta b'yom mishulachas b'layla in mishulachas. So which one is it? The opening line seemed to say anytime it's not in the city, then it's considered, it's in the city, it's considered mishulachas. Yet over here it seems to say that night's not mishulachas. Lo kash answers the Gemara. Hachi kamer nirsa b'ir b'yom mishulachas. If it's seen in the city during the day, then it's considered a sent. The ir balayla ena mishulachas. In the city at night, then it's not considered sent. Inami, another instance, besada afilu biyom ena mishulachas. If it's during the, even if it's during the day, if it's in the field where these animals normally roam, then it's not mishulachas. Rasa shnei b'nei adam rasa acharei mishulachas. If it sees two people and runs after them, then that's not normal. Ha omedes ena mishulachas. But if it stays in its place, then it's not considered as sent. V'hadar amrit nechbas mepneim ena mishulachas, hamdas mishulachas. There seemed to be a contradiction. The second clause seems to say that only if it hides, it's not sent by God. But if it stands in its place, it would be sent by God. Yet the opening clause seems to say that if it stands in its place and doesn't run away, it's considered sent by God. And so Gemara lo kashi, it's not a contradiction. Kan besada hasmucha la'agam. In one case, we're talking about a field that's next to a swamp. If it's next to a swamp, Rashi says that the animal feels no need to run away because it's protected by the swamp. It can easily jump into the swamp and save itself from a human attack. But if it's in a field that's not next to a swamp and it doesn't run away, then that sounds like something that's mishulachas. Tarfa shnei b'nei adam ke'echad. If two people were killed simultaneously, but if he eats both of them, then it's going presumably on its nature urge, and it's not sent, but it's simply hungry. But didn't we say, even if it runs? But didn't you just say that if it just simply runs after them, then in such a case it's a sign of divine intervention? Amar Rav Papa, Rav Papa gives a similar answer to what we saw before. Ki tani ahi. When did we learn this halacha that running after them is considered something natural and not something divine? Ba'agma gufa, when the animal was in the swamp itself. Since it is in that place, so normally it's confident by itself, and therefore natural, then normally it would eat as well. And the fact that it just attacked and did not eat is an indication of the fact that it is sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a din of Mishulachas. We learned Gufa also, the God v'noto tinik merisa Mishulachas, that's obvious if it attacks a child in its crib, that it is considered Mishulachas. So Gemara says that's obvious. Pshita, Amarav Papa, Rav Papa says, kichochichi ditzaydi. Unfortunately, the child was placed in an area that's used to trap animals. So therefore, it's more normal for the animal to be there. And then we might have thought that's not considered mishulachas, says the Gemara. However, still, such a thing is so rare that it must be mishulachas. Speaking about all these tragedies, I just want to add the obvious, that there is a responsibility, u'shmartem es nafshoseichem, and we have a responsibility. Of course, the case of mishulachas, like all the tragedies that we've mentioned above, are clearly mishulachas and don't violate u'shmartem es nafshoseichem. However, when we think of these things, we have to also spend a little bit of time, just like we spend time checking out a luv and esrog,
when we buy for ourselves and we buy for our children, the same thing, we have a responsibility to spend time thinking about that our families and our children are, to the best of our ability, safe. Ultimately, though, we see from our Gemara that there are times that are above and beyond, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Klal Yisrael a message of Mishulachas. Let's continue three lines from the bottom. Al Acheref. We had learned in regards to murderous attack of a sword that terrorists, awful people attack us. Tanu Rabbanan, Cherev She'amru, Eini Tzarech Lomar Cherev She'enu Shel Shalom. We're not only talking about, says the Gemara, of those who attack us for simply being there, and simply being Jews. Naftali Frankel's grandfather at his Levaya spoke about the fact that the people who murdered his grandchildren, their aspirations and their dreams are no different than the Mufti in his pact with Hitler that want all of Israel to be Judenrein. It's not only a cherev like that that is not peaceful. Even if, God forbid, there's a stabbing that is supposedly one of peace. If there was an agreement, Rashi explains that there are times that there is an agreement between two countries that one passed through the other to war, not to war with that country. We're going to see in a moment the classic example of Tanakh, which lead up to Tisha B'Av. In fact, it is the source of kinos in Tanakh, Vayikone in Yirmiyo al Yoshio. The only time the word kina is used the way we use it today as a lament. So afilu cherev shel shalom, she'en lecha cherev shel shalom yoser miparo necho. There is no sword of peace greater than the example of Paro Necho. Paro Necho wanted to pass through to challenge Ashur. My father, who Bli Ayinara, has a tremendous background in Tanakh, as well as in Shas, immediately remind me what the Gemara was referring to even before we read this together. So the case of Paro Necho was that Paro Necho wanted to pass through and fight Asher. But ultimately Yoshio fell based on this. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Divrei Yom and Beis, Vayishlach Elav Melachim Loimer, Ma Li Velach Melech Yehuda, Lo Alecha Atem Hayom Kiyem El Beis Melchamti, Velokim Omer Levaleni Chadalecha Melokim Asher Imi Velo Yashki Secha. The Paro tells Yoshio, this pasuk that we read from Yirmiyo, that I have no intention to do anything to you. So even in a case like this, where it begins as a cherev shel shalom, if ultimately someone gets hurt, that is also a case of where we make a fast day with the blowing the shofar. Now the Gemara begins to get off on a quote-unquote tangent in regards to elaborating on these psukim. And again, I want to emphasize that these psukim are quite important because these psukim are at the core of kinos from a Tanakh perspective of Tisha B'Av. And then we've discussed in the past the significance of it in regards to Tisha B'Av as well. Mark continues, "Mai me'elokim asher imi." What does it mean when he said to Yoshio, "Chadalecha me'elokim asher imi"? He says, "Let me go, that God is with me." Amar Yehuda Merav zu avodah zara. Amar. This fellow was referring to avodah zara. Zu avodah zara. He was making reference. Par Necho is making up avodah zara. Amar. So what angered Yoshio was the following. Since he's so confident in Avodah Zarah, so then in such a case I will clearly be acceptable. Now remember, in the context, Melech Yoshio was actually a king over a time of a tremendous Tshuva revolution, which is part of the tragedy of the whole story of Melech Yoshio and ultimately the destruction of the Bayis Rishon. Vayoru hayorim lamelech Yoshio, vayomer hamelech la'avodav, haviruni ki hechilesi ma'oid. After ultimately the Yoshio was mortally wounded when he went up to fight against Paro Necho, so he says, "I am hechelesi mod. I am very sick." Ma'ki hechelesi mod. Amar Yehuda Merav, melav itshasa kol gufa kivkvara. Ultimately, his body became like a sieve. He was struck so many times by arrows. Amar Shmuel bar Necheni, Amar Rebbe Yoni, son of Pei Mana and Yoshio. He should have consulted with Yirmiyo and he didn't consult. My darash, he darshin the pasuk in Vayikra Chavav in Parshas.
Bichul Kaisai, the end of Bahar. In Bahar Bichul Kaisai, v'cherev lo savar ba'artzichem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises if we do the mitzvot, this is in Bahar, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right before the klolos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that there won't be a sword passing through your land. My cherev. What type of sword? Ich lebe cherev she'ena shalom. If we're talking about a sword that's not of peace, v'aksivin asati shalom ba'aretz alafilu shel shalom. Even a sword of peace, nevertheless, won't be able to pass through your land. In other words, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't even use Eretz Yisrael as a launching pad for war, that it will be entirely peaceful. Not only won't it experience war, it won't even be a launching pad for war. V'hu eina yodeh, that's what the pasuk says. And Yoshio thought that applies to him. V'hu yoina yodeh, she'ein dora dome yafa. And Yoshio did not know that his generation was not as good as he thought it was. Now the Gemara describes something dramatic about the moment of Ptira of Yoshio. Kavinachi Micha Nafshe, when he was at the moment of passing Chazir Yirmiyo, She Svasei Dikamarchin, that his lips, the lips of Yoshio, were moving. Omar, Yirmiyo said to himself, Shemachas V'Sholom, Milsa Lo Mahagna Omar Adil Tzari, maybe he is saying something inappropriate based on the pain, considering all the arrows that had ripped through his body. The opposite was true. Yoshio was doing tziduk hadin anafshei. Omar, he said, Tzadik hu Hashem ki pihu marisi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just because I rebelled against him. At that moment, Yirmiyo began his hespin and he said, Ruach hapei Mashiach Hashem, that he referred to Yoshio as a Mashiach Hashem, who had experienced Ruach HaPeinu Mashiach Hashem, that he had experienced the anger of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though he was something special to Kudsha Brich Hu. We learned in our Mishnah Mice of Yard Zakenim Yushalayim La'areihem, that there was a time that the Zakenim went from Yushalayim to their city, and we learned in the Mishnah that they had seen that there was some type of attack on the wheat by the pestilence, and we learned in our Mishnah it was the size of the amount of wheat that would fill up a oven. Yiboilu, the Gemara wants to qualify and understand. Three lines before the wide on Chaf Beis on the Beis. Yiboilu, Kemale Tanur Tvua, Odilma Kemale Tanur Pas. How much wheat were we talking about? Are we talking about that the wheat would fill up the oven or the bread would fill up the oven? Of course, you need more wheat to fill up the oven than bread. The bread rises. Tashma Kemale Pitanur. My father Shlita explains that Kemale Pitanur means that if we're using the expression of an oven, it would sound like that we're talking about bread, because bread is put into the oven and not wheat. V'adayin tiboilu, and there still was a shad, kikisu de tanur, do we include the space of the cover of the oven? Odilma, or do we say, hidara derifta dahadar lelepuma de tara? Or we're talking about, the Gemara is shayla, is now how do we define the amount of bread to cover up the oven. So we ask like this, the amount of bread that's used to cover the oven. Now, if you're familiar in Maseches Shabbos, there are times that from the first perek that the bread was made by pasting it against the wall or the opening of the oven. So is it that the bread that is pasted against the opening of the oven? O Dilma, Kidara Derifta Dahadala de Puma de Tanura, that you place loaves of bread on top of each other until it reaches the top of the oven, which my father and I are not sure, but it could very well be that the second possibility is more, that if we're talking about the amount of bread that goes into the oven itself, then that would be a larger shear, as opposed to the covering of it, which is pasted against the opening, which would be less. The Mark continues on the first medium-sized light, that there were wolves that had attacked. There were, as a case where two wolves had swallowed, eaten alive, two babies, and they vomited out through, actually had expelled it, here ikiyum means doesn't mean to vomit, but expelled it through the rectum. In such a case, the Chacham said, the bones are tame, but the basar of the children are not. Rashi explains because once it was inside the intestines of the wolf, so then in such a case it had become bottle. However, the atzamos, which don't become digested, so those still had the halachos of tumah. We see here in Maseches Yuma, then the face of tragedy, we have a case also in Maseches Yuma where someone was stabbed in the Beis HaMikdash, and immediately one of the discussions was Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara, that the halachic man processes emotionally, but at the same time, he lives his world in halacha as well, to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into every experience, even the hardest one. So over here, they were done in regards to the Hilchos Tumah V'Tahara on that Tzamos. Al Elu Masriim B'Shabbos. We also learned in our mission on these things, they make a fast day, where they blow the shofar on Shabbos. We had mentioned that if they need to make Zman Tefillah because the city is challenged by warring Gentiles, or there are floods and so on, so then we daven on Shabbos. Amar Ulam Mishum Rabishim Miyotzadet, excuse me, Tan Rabbanan. The Rabbanan learned, Ir Shekifua Nachum, O Nahar. If they're surrounded by warring people or by a flooding river, the Echad Svina Hamiterefes Bayam, also a ship that is in danger at sea, it's tossing in sea, the Echad Yachid Shenirdev Mipnei Nachum, or even one person is being chased by Gentiles, O Mipnei Lissam, or robbers, O Mipnei Ruach Ra, or because a bad spirit, Al Kulon Yachid Rashoy Lissagif Es Atmo B'Tainis. Then in such a case, an individual can take a Tainis, here the Chiddush being even on Shabbos. Reb Yossi Amar Eina Yachid Rosh Hashanah Satsang Tainus. A person is not allowed to pain himself to take a Tainus. Originally, I thought that our Braisa was talking about Shabbos because our Mishnah was talking about Shabbos. My father originally also thought so, but now it seems from the Hemshich HaGemara that even though the Mishnah was talking about it, this is a separate Machloikis. Tanakhama says you're allowed to accept a Tainus Yachid on yourself. Reb Yossi Amar Eina Yachid Rosh Hashanah Satsang Tainus. Reb Yossi warns that a person shouldn't torture himself in fast. Now, the Mefarshim discuss how does this relate to the very famous Gemara, which one of the first times I heard about this Gemara, actually there's no such thing as a coincidence, was from my father. The Gemara on Daf Yud Beis that discusses, actually on Daf Yud Aleph Amid Aleph, where the Gemara discusses whether taking a tainus is a good thing or a bad thing. Whether someone who takes a tainus is nikra kadosh or not. There's a lot to reflect on that. And the Mefarshim connect these two sugyas because Rabbi Yossi says that a person is not supposed to take a tainus on himself. Rabbi Yossi Amar Eina Yochar Shoy Sagir Satsma Tainus, Shemi Yitzdarech Lebrius, lest he need people to take care of him because he no longer has the strength to be able to earn a living on his own. The Eina Brios Merachmos Alav. And people will not have mercy on him, presumably because they will look at it as if he had brought it on to himself. Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, my time the Rabbi Yosef Dichsiv, Vahi Adam Lenefesh Chaya Neshama, Shenasati Becha Hechyeh. That a fascinating drasha that Rav quotes from the Psukim and Bereishis, that Vahi Adam Lenefesh Chaya, that a person was given a Nefesh Chaya, and Rav darshins that you're supposed to nourish that neshama, not to deprive that neshama. Some people nourish the guf. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about nourishing the neshama. And nourishing the guf in a way that's healthy is of course included, but not being absorbed in gashmis, which at the core relates to some of the issues of what is the appropriate way for a person sometimes to deprive themselves of gashmis, and what is considered too much, when is it considered avodas Hashem, and when is it not, which is a little bit beyond the scope of the Daf Yom. Shimon HaTimni Omer, Afal HaDever. Shimon HaTimni said in our Mishnah that also when it came to Dever, when it came to plague, they would make a fast, even on Shabbos. Now we come back to Shabbos. Lo hodu lo chachamim. And the chachamim did not agree with him. Iboilu. Lo hodu lo chacham b'Shabbos avulchol hodu lo. Is it the pshat that the chacham, again, is similar to the type of struggle we had in the Gemara that the Gemara did not raise earlier? Now the Gemara raises it, and that is, was the Mishnah talking about specifically Shabbos, but on Chol, they agreed that there should be a fast day for a plague? Odim aloha dolo klal, or they didn't admit it at all. Tashman desayim masrin aladever b'Shabbos, vein tzarech lomar b'chol, that we learned in a Braisa, that you make a fast day with shofar on Shabbos, certainly chorub. Rabbi Hanan bar ben Pitum, Talmidus Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Amru, Ein Masrin ala dever kol ikor. We learn that you don't make a fast day on the plague at all. We learned in our Mishnah a beautiful euphemism that is still used to this day. Al kol tzar shelo tavo ala tzibur. That is a euphemism for saying that if God forbid there is a tzara, but we say that it shouldn't happen. This is the makar. There are many gedolei achronim who point out that many, many Yiddishisms, I don't know exactly what the Yiddishism is, but the way it's said in Yiddish, that it shouldn't happen when you're actually talking about when such an event happens, that a tragedy should not take place. That's how it's always described, even if God forbid the tragedy took place. So the Mishnah describes, I'll call tzara shelo tavo ala tzibur, that they would make a fast day as well. Tan Rabban al Kol Tzara Shelo Tavo Al Tzibur Masriyin Alein, they would make a fast day with the blowing of the shofar, Chutz Meirov Gishamin, except if there is a lot of rain and people are being disturbed by that large amounts of rain. Here in the New York area, it's Lahavdil, July 4th weekend, and there are many people who are complaining that the forecast is talking about rain that is going to flood the roads, and they won't be able to, it's looking like a lot of people are going to be on the road for a long time over the weekend. On the other hand, we have to, that's just New York fetching. But in Florida, unfortunately, there are talks about really dangerous hurricanes. So we have to keep in mind the difference between something that's inconvenient and then a real tzara. My time, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'fi she'im espalin al rov atova. We don't daven if, in general, it is something that is good for us. If there is abundance of good, then we don't focus on the negative, the small negative consequences of it. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, mayin she'im espal al rov tova. How do we know this? Shenemar, as the Pasuk in Malachi says, if you is kol ha'maser al beis ha'otzer, that you will have so much plenty, the Pasuk in Malachi says, that you'll have so much maser to bring to the storage houses. To the point of ad b'li dai. That's what the Pasuk in Malachi describes. If you remember, we spoke about this pasuk earlier in that you could test HaKadosh Baruch Hu with tzedakah. To the point that you'll be saying ad b'li dai. Amar Rabbi Bar Rav. My father corrects me. Amar Rabbi Bar Rav. Rami said the name of Rav. Achiyiflu sifsai sechem milomar dai. Until the point that they will be, their mouths would be worn out from saying enough, enough, enough. So even though the people are feeling it's enough, nevertheless they're never going to daven that would seem for it to stop. Amar Rami Bar Rav Yud. Rashi stops at this. He points out that that is an interesting name. And he says, there was a person, a chacham, whose name was Yud. Rami says the name of Yud. Ubegola masrina lehen. But in Golos, they would make it a fast day. Particularly here, we're talking about in Bavel. Because if there's so much rain, then it could lead, God forbid, for flood, to flooding. Truth is, I did hear on the radio that there was last night a couple of cars that had to be abandoned due to the flooding. Tanina mihachi shana shiksham merubin anshe mishra shochel anshe mamad. In the case of where there was a lot of rain, the anshe mishmar, who were the people, as she tells us we're going to get to on Chavava min Aleph, that there were people who were davening in the streets, they were the maimid, who were davening at the same time for the particular mishmar of the Kohanim Gedolim that were in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Anshe Mishmar would send to Anshe Mamid, Tnu Einechem Be'acheichem Shev Golo. Daven for them, Shelo Yehu Yehei Batem Kivurim Kivrehem. That they shouldn't be buried alone in their houses, because unfortunately, God forbid, the flooding was so great that it would flood houses that people would drown. Shalos Rabbi Lezer, Acheichem Shem Yardim Espalim Shelo Yardu. How much should they, the rain be when they begin to daven? Amalem Kadesh Shiyamod Adam Mekaren Afel. That a person should stand in a dark corner. Rashi explains that this is an expression. It doesn't mean literally a dark corner, but is a type of stone that is very high. Yishachshich raglo b'mayim. And his legs become wet with water. Acts of Gemara, Vatanya Yodov. Didn't it say his hands? there was a tradition that said the hands. Answered the Gemara, raglav ki yadav klamina. When I said feet, I meant he'll be able to bend down with his hands to where his feet are, already be wet. That's already too much rain, that there should be a tefillah that people should not drown in such a rainfall. Mark continues three lines from the bottom on Chabezom, Bezom, Rabba, Barachan, Ali, Nichazili, Karen, Othel. I saw this place, Dikom, Ahu, Tayo, Hirachal, Gamla, Vinakit, Rumcha, Biyade. There was a Arab merchant who was standing on top of it, Nischazi and Eva, and it didn't seem to be very, very large at all. In other words, the shear is not a large shear. This Bezer Hashem concludes Daf Chav Beis in Maseches Tainis. Due to the fact that Bezer Hashem, I have a chasana of one of my dear Talmidim tonight, I will not record the halacha from the daily daf. Bezer Hashem, I hope that tomorrow to continue learning with you. Bezer Hashem, maybe we'll have a bonus again to learn with my father Shlita, although he has his daily daf in Rabbi Reisman's shul with Rabbi Gedalia Weinberger. But hopefully tomorrow we'll also have time to learn the halacha from the daily daf. This Bezer Hashem concludes Daf Chav Beis in the Maseches Tainis.